you see me walking down the street, and I start to cry each time we meet. Walk on by, walk on by. Make believe that you don't see the tears, just let me breathe in private, 'cause each time I see you, seem broken and blue. Walk on by, walk on by. Foolish pride, that's all that I have left. So let me hide the tears and the sadness you gave me when you said goodbye. You said goodbye, so walk on.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, we're happy to be back. Had a brief break there. And I understand a number of you were calling in, inquiring as to my status. And some thought maybe I had a stroke or something. Well, I'd like to think positive. Maybe I was lucky and inherited a banana plantation in Tahiti or somewhere. That would that be good? But anyway, welcome to the Carol Cox Show. And quite a bit going on. And I assure you, I wasn't here sitting in the studio. But what I can tell you is that I've been quite busy looking at things, and things that might interest you or many of you out there. So if you'd like to talk with me or have questions or comments or some things that have been going on, the number is 808-888-5204, 808 area code. Now, I never know how many of you are out there listening, and as I say, I put it out there, and it hopefully one day it's a seed planted, or someone will come along and sprinkle a little water on the subject matter, and it'll grow bigger, and we don't tend to answer all the questions. We can't, because we're dealing with a system that's political, that's driven by many factors. So, I told you the last time I was here, I think, I told you about an incident that I was following, and you may have seen it aired on TV on the KGMB, Hawaii News Now, regarding the Department of Land and Natural Resources and the activities of the director or the chief of law enforcement, Mr. Robert Farrell, and another officer, DOCARE officer, Department of Conservation Resource Enforcement officer. Carlton Helm, and some of the others, but it involved the seizure and detainment of individuals aboard a recreational vessel that was participating, one of many vessels that had been attracted to the flotilla. Now, never mind what you think of it, whatever it is, if it's they were drinking, and I understand they made a big deal of it. And I think the hardest part about coming in on a radio show or going on TV, you, the viewer or the listener, you're satisfied with just tidbits. Just the smell of bacon, so to speak, is good enough for you. You don't really want to see the whole hog. Well, and that's where bacon comes from. Some of you probably don't want to stand the thought of, or can't stand the thought of knowing that a pig gave up his life or her life, its life, for BLT, for you. But anyway, silliness. But what happened is that call if you hold on for a minute, we'll get right to you. This vessel called the Wind Warrior, and it was a recreational vessel. It was seized and towed, and we're going to talk about that. And all of this links, and under the Suzanne Case administration, under the David Ige administration. Now, I'm not going to turn this into politics, but I could suggest to you that some of these things that we talk about speaks to governance, good government, bad government. So take it however you wish, but I believe that the way things are served up in the media, they've already told you that the DLNR is going to be aggressive in the flotilla and monitoring and making arrests for drinking and operating boats and all of those things. And the reality is there's not a standard field sobriety test given to any of those parties by the DLNR. If they were, they escaped me. And I don't know, in talking to many of the officers that who were directly involved and have been involved out at Sandbar and anywhere else, they're not formally trained and certified in identifying who's inebriated and to what degree, or doing any tests or breathalyzers or any of that. And, you know, a simple element that's involved in that is that, you know, if you're on a boat, you develop sea legs, you're pushing against, you're trying to compensate and what have you. So you need to be taken ashore, and should be, on a foundation that's solid and not shaky, and let you get your legs back before you administer a drunk walk test or whatever you call it, eyes, finger to nose test, or walking in a straight line. So all of these things we'll talk about, but there's some very bad behavior occurring under the watch of Suzanne Case, Robert Farrell, and some of his minions that he favors, because as we've talked about many things, and I must tell you once again, Robert Farrell, in anticipation of trying to thwart any coverage that I might dig up or might be watching or might come in on the show or talk or go on TV about, he had the audacity to write me a letter telling me how foul I was and how difficult I was and how unimpressed he was with my investigations. And over the years, 25, 30 years, I worked Cal Fish and Game, and he didn't think I was a good officer. So this is the kind of behavior this man, and you were fired. So went fired from Cal Fish and Game. But this speaks to, this is a state personnel working for the people. When you go and you find information, or his workers or underlings or his staff contact me or other media sources, his practice is to go on the attack government. So to go further, he and Dan Dennison went to KGMB, Hawaii News Now, and basically tried to foul my reputation. This is because he know that I cover and expose many of things. But we'll leave that for another day, and we'll be addressing that in another format. But let's see here. Who's this? Caller, thank you for waiting. You got a comment, a question?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Carol Cox.
Good morning.
You know, we see so much problem, inefficiency within the government system in compliance in carrying out what should be done for our infrastructure. I came to assess this. Most all job descriptions and performance is conservative, but people's personal ideology, the idiosyncrasy of who they are, make them dysfunctional because they cannot perform the path. Mm-hmm. Peter F. Drucker says about management, use people, don't concentrate on the weakness. Use people whose strengths is focused to the job task, because jobs are most of it conservative, and mm-hmm. people's personal ideology is liberal. We have this dysfunctional mentality, ineffectiveness by the personnel. And people, like, I don't know the letter that they wrote to you, your former boss.
No, he had
why
not,
the he ideology
was,
is
he
like
He was
that.
Not my boss. I never knew the man. Oh. I never knew him. Never had any interaction with him. Go ahead.
So this idea of one's person's nature and one's job description doesn't matches because one's personal lifestyle is volatile, mm-hmm. they become dysfunctional. And mm-hmm. when they have perverted morality, and because the world has become liberal in their personal lifestyles, the Bible does say, God says, righteousness will rule forever. So within the judicial law, within the governmental law, the city charter, even the job description, righteousness rules. When you are not within that range of reasonableness and civility and decent and wholesomeness in your personal life, you become dysfunctional and you cannot perform mm-hmm. the tasks of your job.
So then you become a tyrant. Is that it?
Tyrant?
I mean, when you...
Not a tyrant. They just cannot perform their job. I have two cases. One at MedQuest and another place. I bring in all the right documents. The personnel are dysfunctional. I give them three IDs. They're supposed to make copies of three IDs. They make copies only of two, and they give me back my information. I tell them, oh, what about this third ID? It's a simple pass, Mr. Carol Cox. And they couldn't do it. They're all dysfunctional. There's this worst word that C.S. Lewis used, vicariousness, is what you imagine your personal lifestyle that creates who you are. Yeah. And this vicariousness in the community, you know, people go around their imagination, their value system, project who they are. Leo Tolstoy said, faith is the life force. Mm-hmm. So this vicarious mentality of people not based on stable and sound principles create dysfunctionalness in mm-hmm. the community. I'll take it off the radio.
Okay,
I'll
thank you.
To you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
All right, well taken. So, in continuation, and I appreciate the caller there, I want to lay this out for you, so not just my view, and we have our ways of legal ways of dealing with people, such as Farrell, and when they step out of line, there are ways to compensate for that legally. But I want to share with you, this is what has developed underneath the umbrella of David Ige's illustrious appointee, Suzanne Case, and the tolerance and the willingness, as I've demonstrated to you, where they manufactured a case on supposedly the sea cucumber from Maui and what have you. That's extensive. But with this situation, the length that they were willing to go to tread on and trounce on the rights of the worker. See, when we refer to people as state workers, state employees, or state hirees, that's okay. That's a nice term for purpose of communicating and bringing you to the circle and who you are, giving us some reference point. But they're still human beings. And then when we see one parked at Costco and the day off or what have you, that's not fair to draw the conclusion that all of them are crooked and will abuse their authority and all. So that's a cheap shot, cheap blow. But what happens is that you get people. Now, Farrell retired from Cal Fishing Game, and to accommodate him, Suzanne Case gave him 6 months leave of absence. To accommodate him. Meantime, while she was trying to cut up and slay Thomas Friel, who's an awesome person, a well-trained special agent, Department of Commerce, you know, many good attributes. But they found some reason to betray him and make him promises and then later pull the plug on him. And no matter what you think, I have facts that will. And I'm still waiting on the OIP, Office of Information Practices, to release documents or make a ruling on documents where Suzanne Case actually intervened and changed one person out of a position on the Big Island where Farrell was located. So I want to read you something here. May 16, 2018, a letter addressed to Robert Farrell, Chief of Enforcement, Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement, Department of Land and Natural Resources, regarding outside employment and standards of conduct policies and procedures. Now, this is from HGEA, the legal arm of HGEA, and Hawaii Governmental Employment Agency Association. The HGEA had communicated to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DLNR, personnel office, that HGEA expected the Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement, DOCARE, to suspend implementation of both policies while we continue with the consultation. Assistant Administrator Jason Radula responded on your behalf that DOCARE will continue with the implementation effective May 1, 2018. This suggests that they have no regards for the law. Everything is iron-fisted. I'm from California Fish and Game. We do it this way. I'm going to build a new agency. I'm going to show you lazy, no good SOBs or what have you. And in fact, he sent out a letter that scolded or would just trounce on the personnel in a way that I read that letter on air here to you. But, as you may be aware, Governor David Ige signed into law Act 10, House Bill 2114, which provides the negotiations over the implementation of management decision affecting the terms and conditions of employment that are subject to collective bargaining are not precluded from collective bargaining and negotiations. Act 10 became effective May 1, 2018. Now, just to show you the disregard and the disrespect for law on the part of Radula, Suzanne Case, Robert Farrell. And that is, you note that the Assistant Administrator, Jason Radula, responded on your behalf that DOCARE will continue with the implementation effective May 1, 2018. But yet the act was signed prohibiting such on the same day. In accordance with Act 10, the HGEA demands that DOCARE cease and desist with the continuation of both policies stated above and that we begin negotiations. You may contact me at the number scheduled and field service officer for HGA. I won't give her a name, but this is a letter, and we'll post it up later on. And next week we were having some changeover in our system. So, but that's just one brick in the wall, so to speak. Speaking of that, now I told you about that flotilla. And that's a perfectly legal. You can drink if you're in the water. You can drink in the water. If you're on a boat, you can drink on a boat. The captain can't be consuming any fluids of alcoholic content or drugs or what have you. But he can be there dancing and partying all he wants to. So Farrell, let me set the stage for you. Robert Farrell was supervising and out there amongst his troops on the flotilla, directly involved. And we'll read the documents and we'll share with you. And there's one footnote that I want to make sure to speak up front on, and that is, now, whatever it is that they have, they've orchestrated a plan under the Ige nod, go ahead, or Suzanne Case's go ahead, or her desires, there's an interesting relationship that has been born here or given birth to, and that is with the Richard School of Law. Somehow, wishes and interests that Farrell and Suzanne Case and others want to do or implement on be part of the DLNR's efforts, and it's quote to protect the resources. The Richardson School of Law has become a conduit to receive monies on behalf of the DLNR, and they deny that, but they were directly involved in one specific instance is that DLNR wants to start an academy. So they got money donated to them, and they use outside of government, received the donation that was sent through Denise Antolini, Dr. Denise Antolini, to manage that money. And they then hired Farrell's former boss from California to be the contractor. But then if you ask DLNR, is this yours? No, it's not ours. That belongs to Richard's School of Law. So you can see the switching of hands and the sleight of hands, it appear, that has taken place here. But that, again, is the backdrop of what we're evolving from. Lack of procurement, clarity, transparency. It just doesn't smell right. It doesn't fit the smell test. The appearance of ethical concerns. We've inquired of that. We're waiting for Dr. Antolini, Denise Antolini, to respond in a greater detail. She did write me and confirm that these things that I was just stated to you are true and more. But she was on a trip to Pakistan, and so she wasn't able to go extensive. But my question is, why such relationship? Why not, if someone wants to donate money, go to the state legislator and accept it legally as a gift for the agency? Why this back door, side door, or under door, or a hatch door approach? It invites and becomes a climate for, well, it's not ours. Don't ask us. Ask them. Yeah, but them is involved in our business. So this flotilla, there's a Mr. Wyatt Cam. If you saw the Hawaii News Now article regarding this Wind Warrior and the allegations, and some very serious allegations, and I'll just read you his complaint. And I met with him and interviewed him and know some of the details as he describes them. He has filed a formal complaint, and to file a formal complaint, you have to put it in writing, have it notarized, and deliver it to the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Now, keep that in mind now. It's a very stringent, high-demand conditions on this. If you want to file a complaint, you have to go through those steps that I just mentioned. Keep that in mind now. So this gentleman, Mr. Wyatt Cam, was aboard the Wind Warrior on the 4th of July, 2017. And the DLNR had reason to go aboard the boat, as they described, because there was a, quote, a fight aboard this vessel. This vessel was anchored legally amongst the other vessels and people that were participating in the flotilla. It had aboard a number of people, as if you've ever been to any kind of boat drinking party, people jump off the boat, swim to the next boat, and just become social floating bugs or water bugs. Who knows? But it's legal. So Mr. Kim's allegations are, they, in the form that he filled out, a formal filing, Officer Carlton Helm used unnecessary force, vulgar language, and harassment for an unusually long period of time, and also broke five cabinet covers and tore through canvas and canvas covers on the boat. Officer Farrell allowed Officer Helm free rein and did not control his violent behavior. I'm reading this from, this is the actual notarized complaint filed by Mr. Cam. Now, this incident now occurred back in July 4th, 2017. And many of you, all my armchair lawyer listeners out there who always got, you know, they're brilliant. They always ask, well, why so long? Well, you know, there's some foods get better when they season. And sometimes you don't know all the factors that people are fearful. And especially if you work on the water and you have a chance, a case to cause to be, interact with these officers again, they can make your life miserable. So all of these elements come in. But the fact is that if you file a complaint, you're required to notarize it. And so your sworn statement and what have you. So this is a complaint against, this is Mr. Cam writing, against Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement Officer Robert Farrell, Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement Officer Carlton Helm, for the violation of my civil rights by forcing me to lie face down on the hot deck of a boat while Officer Helm placed his booted foot on my head and along my back, thus preventing me from lifting my head off the deck of the boat before and during a period of time lasting approximately 45 minutes at a location between Waikiki Beach and the Alawai Harbor. More specifically, in the afternoon of July 4, 2017, DOCARE Officer Robert Farrell, operating boat owned by the State of Hawaii Land and Natural Resources off Waikiki, steered it alongside a private, legally anchored, motor-driven boat named, quote, Wind Warrior, and placed DOCARE Officer Helm aboard. After Officer Helm boarded the boat, the, quote, Wind Warrior, he immediately proceeded to scream vulgarities and informed everyone aboard the boat they were under arrest. He said he was going to impound the boat, but never stated why the boat was being impounded or the reason for placing us under arrest. Officer Helm then ordered the boat Wind Warrior to be freed from its anchor and personally drove the boat to the Alawai Canal where it was later docked. DOCARE Robert Farrell was present, observed, and personally witnessed DOCARE Officer Helm's actions at all times during the incident. I stated that I was the captain three times, and three times he called it a captainless boat and asked where Thomas two other men. I was never asked my name or for my any form of type of ID. During the trip, Officer Helm told me repeatedly he would kick me in the mouth if I raised my head up off the boat's deck. This occurred the entire duration of the trip from Waikiki to Alawai Harbor. During the trip, Officer Helm denied me the right to use the restroom aboard the vessel, even though I had made several requests to be allowed to use the restroom. As a result, I had to urinate while dressed and while lying face down on the deck of the boat. Once dockside, I remained face down on the deck, as I was afraid to get up, until another officer told me it was okay to sit up. Officer Helm left the area shortly thereafter. I believe I was unlawfully arrested, detained, and transported against my will by DOCARE Officer Farrell and DOCARE Officer Carlton Hill. At no time during this incident did I feel I could freely leave the area. I was not formally charged with any unlawful act. So that's notarized on 5/2/18. Now, there's a lot to be said, Farrell and none of them are here, because when you call them up, I'm not going to engage, and I will rely solely on the documentation, the formal filings. That way we try to steer clear of any convolution or convoluted responses or delays in response, or, you have to be savvy with people that are playing games. And when they're playing games with civil rights, with the law, and they treat you as if you're the most ignorant thing that is live on this planet because of their behavior, as the gentleman said earlier in the phone call, describing that kind of behavior. So let me go back here, and I say that you feel free to call in at 888-5204. If you'd like comment, or if you want to defend or promote or whatever it is that you'd like to do, we're all ears today. And let me just find my place here. Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Good morning again, Mr. Carol Cox.
Yes, sir.
Regarding that agent who took that person down, we must understand laws of nature. If the law enforcement was that, what's the word to describe it, that brutal to that person, the laws of nature tell us when... If they allow, liberal or unrest to occur in our community, in Hawaii Nei, or any place in the world, even on the mainland, you see this police state existing. If the police themselves lose their morality, what's that word that describes, their consciousness,
mm-hmm.
their morale, and
okay.
they become dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
The laws of nature, God created us in such a way that we have to react or act upon in such a manner to maintain our personal consciousness. It's ongoing. This is the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe... The officer, the enforcement officer, might have feelings of anger because of things like that happening. But the laws of nature tell us, if the law enforcement cannot maintain their morale as a law enforcement institution, and they become ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reaction of human beings. When someone breaks the law or there's a threat to the community, law enforcement have to respond in that manner. Of course, a man cannot be kind and, it's not the mentality of a law enforcement person. If he's kind and gentle, it's hard to create a human being to react in such a mild manner in those kind of situations, any kind of criminal or wrong environment. Law enforcement cannot react any other way than how we are anatomically in our minds and our bodies. So he might have been treating wrong, but the laws of nature tell us there's no other way. And because we worried of anarchy to happen in our community, especially law enforcement, they know how serious their job. I bet you that law enforcement guy, if you seen him at a party, he's not that way. But in his job or her job, he has to react that way. He cannot maintain his persona.
I don't understand that, but I'll accept it on his face value. When you say when he's not, he's acting like that. Constitutional rights and the civil rights of people and the behavior of an officer, there's so many factors that come into play here. You still have to have control, and also you're allowed as an officer to employ whatever degree of force is necessary, but it must be justified. You know,
you wouldn't take
a fully automatic weapon and shoot someone for drinking a Coke in a place that says no food and drinks in. You know,
that's completely wrong. That's completely out of the context of what should be done by rules of engagement.
Right. Well, let me get the other caller here, and you can call back if you have some other point. Thank you. Caller, go ahead. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You have your comments?
Oh, okay. I can hardly hear you. Yeah, I know the caller just a while ago, I know he was getting caught up in emotions, but no, these guys are supposed to be the best of society. They're supposed to have control and use their brains and don't break the law. You can't just fly off the handle. It's not human nature to just react. Like you said, then that gives anybody in authority the right to do that. No, that's not right what they did.
Yeah. Well,
and, it's pretty scary. I mean, it happens. They got to weed out the bad ones. They got to have guys that can control themselves.
Well, in this situation, and I want to be fair, that's why I'm trying to strictly contain it to the written reports, and that's what I'll be reading the next and some commentary. But you're right. Policemen have a hard job. You're dealing with so many variables. But if all of this is true, you know, when a citizen has to go through this procedure to file complaints and all, and it's how the agency receives it and how the agency treats it makes a difference. And we'll show that here, how the agency basically poo-pooed this entire incident on numerous occasions when it was brought to the attention of Farrell. And quite naturally, if Farrell is there, out there on the waters, present, a part of this operation, and having first-hand knowledge, and he should have intervened and said, stop, time out. But instead, it got worse and exacerbated and got worse. And just a little comedy here. I'm told through interviews that when they did finally make it to the docks on the watch of Farrell and Carlton, I haven't confirmed this yet, but we'll see if the state provides the documents. They left. Farrell and Carlton left because Carlton Helm had to go to a special duties where you get overtime pay on another matter.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Now I as I say, I'm just repeating what has come out now. And we'll talk more from the documents, but thank you for calling.
Thanks.
So I want to be extremely careful, and you make your own decisions. I'm going to read from these documents, and so when I say these documents were obtained through the UIPA, and we are still working and trying to get more information, waiting for them to respond to Hawaii News Now again for clarification on some of the documents. But this is Officer Carlton Helm, and Mr. Helm is not guilty of anything. And we're not trying his case, but what we will do is lay out the behavior that is alleged here on the part of Mr. Helm and the neglect or the willingness or the inability of Mr. Farrell and the unwillingness to intervene. Now, he may have intervened, but as these documents show, and as Mr. Cam alleges nothing was done. On the assignment, this is Mr. Helm. He wrote that on this incident occurred on 7-4-2017. The assignment, on 7-4-2017, at approximately 17:30 hours, this supervisor was assigned to the Oahu Branch Marine Patrol Unit, MPU, and executing maritime patrols utilizing Fleet Vessel HA during the, Flotopia operation located within the state of Hawaii ocean waters, Waikiki waters of Oahu. Keep that in mind now. That's quite detailed. I mean, the only thing missing there is the smell of the water and what was the temperature of the water and which way it was flowing. You know, this I've learned over the years, when you have so much detail, it's like, who cares? Then it suggests that maybe it warrants a looking a little deeper, or pull back the first page of the sheet, because the articulation is just suspect, in my opinion. Now, while located seaward of the fleet of vessels involved with the, quote, Flotopia event, an unidentified male, city and county of Honolulu ocean safety thrill craft operator, made contact with this supervisor and reported a fight was in progress on a vessel. On a vessel. Now, this is it doesn't say the Windward Warrior or anything. It just says on a vessel. Supervisor's observations and actions. The ocean safety operator guides the supervisor to a silver-colored double-hull catamaran-type vessel bearing identifications, blah, 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 which contain multiple occupants. In response, the blue lights on fleet vessel HA-0671XS was initiated. Okay, nothing wrong with that. This supervisor boarded the described vessel and did not observe any physical altercation. Keep that in mind, folks. They went there to this vessel because there was a report of an altercation aboard a vessel. The guy says he led him to a double, was in progress on a vessel. Didn't say what kind of vessel. Then he said didn't know the name of the officer, which is not, we're not going to hold that against him. This supervisor boarded the described vessel and did not observe any physical altercation in progress. This supervisor did not observe any passengers who incurred injuries from physical altercation, nor were any injuries reported. Passengers related that aggressors had fled the scene from the supervisor's arrival. Upon this supervisor's arrival, this supervisor attempted to identify the captain, commander of the described vessel, to which the passengers related the captain was and crew fled. A heavily intoxicated, keep this in mind now, a heavily intoxicated, belligerent, an aggressive adult male, later identified as Wyatt Cam, indicated that he was the captain, but could not provide a valid Merchant Marine's mariner's credential or a State of Hawaii power-driven vessel certification. Passengers on the vessel, described vessel located Cam, related Cam was not the captain of the vessel and identified the captain as another individual called Ocean. While searching for the captain of the described vessel, this supervisor attempted to settle and instruct passengers to sit on benches for their safety. At that time, this supervisor observed that these passengers were possibly minors who had potentially consumed alcoholic beverages due to the strong odor of alcohol beverages emanating from their breath. As a result of this record reported altercation, some of the male passengers who were observed with strong odor of alcohol beverage emanating from their breath were yelling, very aggressive and combative. A perceived underage female appeared clearly intoxicated due to her slurred speech and the strong odor of alcoholic beverages coming from her breath. Despite the recalcitrant activity occurring on board, another unsupervised perceived female minor was observed to be sleeping on the port side quarter bench near the edge of the gunwales and was in danger of a man overboard, quote, man overboard situation. Now, mind you now, folks, this boat is anchored. This boat is not, we're not having terrible winds of stormy weather. This is in daylight hours. And you're on a, laying on a boat and you're anchored. So, but keep in that man overboard. It's rather suspect. Various brands of empty and half-consumed liquor containers were observed on the deck within the overflowing garbage bags, which were located on the described vessel. Passengers failed to obey numerous directives to be seated on the benches to prevent injury or a man overboard situation. Man overboard now. Man overboard. We see this twice. Some of the passengers continued to disregard the supervisor's direction, this supervisor's direction, by walking around the unstable vessel deck and netting located at the bow. Eventually, all passengers on the described vessel complied with this supervisor's numerous reminders to sit on the benches for safety. Now, you seize this vessel, you commandeered it, you've taken it, as you read, I read to you earlier, and you'll hear later, you're not asking them to sit down. If you're seizing this boat and you're going to transport this boat, you better start thinking PFDs, personal flotation devices, probable cause, plain view, or is this would be, you know, if an officer goes to a house or to a property for one violation of someone threatening with a gun, let's say, this is a strange, and you go there, it's a legitimate response, and you see that someone's sitting there with a pound of cocaine or what looked like cocaine or whatever, then you have a right, and it's in plain view. So this one, we're going to call this a plain smell. See, they're giving probable cause. He's saying that I smell their breath, and, you know. So we're going to leave that one hanging there for a bit. Passengers of the described vessel were spontaneously yelling that they paid $50 to party on the described vessel and did not understand why this supervisor was concerned. Maybe they were concerned because this supervisor came on board and it was in response to a fight, but then found no fight. So there should have been possibly no reason to be hanging around the boat, because it was legal to anchor a boat. It was legal to, it wasn't being driven by anyone. It was anchored, legally moored in a proper place. No threat to navigation. Because if that was the case, then it should have seized every inner tube, every float device, every ice chest, everything that was in the way, because it would have been a navigational hazard. But this is creative writing at best. And we'll talk about the date that this report was finalized. So none of the passengers were in possession of any valid identification. Maybe that because they were going to be swimming. I don't know. I'm from a different planet. Most of the passengers were attired in board shorts and female swimsuits, and did not possess insulated underwear or outerwear to protect themselves from the current and changing dust condition. The current and changing dust condition. So, DLNR, you ask yourself, why on earth would the DLNR even give a hoot about people that are out in the sun? They couldn't even manage and come up with an idea of banning suntan spray because of the contaminants in it. But all of a sudden they're busy, worried about someone in the dusk hours. They didn't have enough to protect themselves from the current and changing dust conditions. How ridiculous. This supervisor informed DLNR DoCare State of Hawaii Enforcement Chief. Now, this is, you know, I told you Robert Farrell was there. So let's read this again. This supervisor informed DLNR DoCare State of Hawaii Enforcement Chief Robert Farrell of the findings, and Chief Farrell commanded this supervisor to initiate contact with an on-scene United States Coast Guard fleet vessel to assist in the recovery and tow of the described vessel bearing identification decals to the Alawai Small Boat Harbor. The United States Coast Guard fleet vessel failed to respond to multiple attempts to flag down and contact them in VHF 16. This supervisor observed the U.S. Coast Guard vessel turn its bow south and made way seaward of the flotopia, end quote, fleet and away from the scene, thus resulting in negative United States Coast Guard assistance. Now, guys, I'm sorry. I ran over time here, but we'll be back here shortly. Hold that thought. This is the Carol Cox Show, and we're talking about the flotopia of July 4th, 2017, and DoCare's, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, involvement in flubbing.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. We'll be right back.
Okay. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, I note that some of you were calling and have inquired of the status of the show. It's still ongoing, and we're dealing with it day after day. So trying to change to or incorporate carolcox.com, and we'll do a blog, a podcast, actually, which you can get that now, but we'll also be here at KWAI and doing a blog, doing a podcast. And also keep in mind you can see me or view our stories on Olelo at Channel 54 on Sundays at 1 o'clock and on Thursdays at 7. So anyway, we were talking about, when I say we, me, myself, and I, if for those of you that want to be accurate, about Department of Land and Natural Resources involvement in a seizure, and we'll call it a seizure because documentation, people were transported against their will or detained under the authority of or the directions of a law enforcement officer of the state, Department of Land and Natural Resources. So anyway, we left off at where the United States Coast Guard now ignored them, ignored the numerous radio phone calls or the radio calls to the Coast Guard to assist in transporting the boat or seizing the boat or because there was some whoop-de-do. Now, if the United States Coast Guard ignores you and turn and go south on you, you might want to, and you're Robert Farrell, you might want to think, damn, I must be doing something bad when the United States Coast Guard, they don't see what I see, or something. Somebody should have been awakened there and said, you know, maybe we're reading this thing wrong. Maybe we're too coming on too strong because the United States Coast Guard left us high and dry. Well, we'll go on with Mr. Carlton Helms' report, which was written later. He states, with no captain/vessel commander on board or within the vessel's vicinity, and with none of the passengers certified to command the vessel, it was an agreed consensus involving Chief Farrell. Now listen now. Involving Chief Farrell, in parentheses, with no captain vessel commander on board or within the vessel's vicinity, and with none of the passengers certified to command the vessel, it was agreed consensus, quote, parentheses, involving Chief Robert Farrell and this supervisor, that this supervisor take command of the vessel, the described vessel's single anchor line located on the starboard bow cleat was firmly secured to the sea floor and had added tension due to the brisk east-northeast trade winds. Due to the surrounding anchored vessels, especially the bow area and surrounding, quote, flotopia, end quote, attendees, the tension to the bow line could not be alleviated by forward operation of the described vessel. Thus, the anchor line, drum roll please, was cut, and the described vessel bearing Hawaii's decal made way to the Alawai small boat harbor. You see, this is when, if you don't, you can't say this is a crooked department, and I won't say that, but what I will say, it's a fledgling set of people that are learning the roles on how to articulate and create creative writing to write the scene as they want to see it. Some say that's dirty practices. I'm not going to give any description to it and say that if you got to go out of your way to manufacture something and be that descriptive in articulating that much, and then you say that this vessel was a threat, but you're now admitting that Robert Farrell, under his supervision, you cut the anchor. Now, this is the Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement now. Based on Mr. Carlton Helms' report, if they cut an anchor, So that tells me the scope and likelihood, the type of anchor, and at least 10, 12 feet of chain, possibly stainless steel chain or galvanized chain, or maybe longer, was cut and left there. And as the tide comes in and the tide comes out and the surf comes out, we're going to have the chafing and the breaking of coral. And that. Now, this is the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Nowhere in here does it say we return to the scene to remove the anchor due to the potential damages it poses. You see, this is why my advice to any cop out there, if you can't do it legally, and if the evidence don't present itself, don't manufacture it. Don't get creative. Don't articulate, because it then becomes suspect. And it will hamper a good case. And maybe when the Coast Guard heard it was from the DLNR, maybe they said, oh, my God, the DL and what? Oh, go south, man. They need some help in Samoa or down in somewhere, Johnson Atoll. Let's go down there. But so I'm just joking, folks. But again, Robert Farrell was there and witnessed and participated, as this man says, in cutting. He didn't cut the rope, apparently. I don't know who cut the rope. But thus, the anchor line was cut, and the described vessel bearing the Hawaii decals made way to. No, I drove it to, made way to. No, it didn't make its way to. It has no brain. It didn't. It was happy where it was, if you want to make it, if you want to humanize it. The boat was just as content as any other piece of floating device out there that was having people having fun. And dusk, when the last time you've been approached, oh, sir, excuse me, sir, it looked like it's going to rain. I know it's 12 o'clock now, but if you would, you look like you need a coat. Let me run in here to Ross's and get you a jacket. And by the way, I'm going to seize your car because it looked like dust. You're going to be cold. You see, these are the things. Mr. Farrell, for your description of me as being a crappy investigator and a reporter, no, honest investigators don't lie and they don't manufacture things and they don't articulate something that isn't there. So maybe you're confused, but we'll let it ride for right now. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning again, Mr. Carol Cox. Mm-hmm. What are you doing as an activist? And what I'm doing is an activist protesting when the government don't follow proper protocol and doing their job, refines the system. I read a book on, it's called The Communitarian, and it says that social activism is a national morality for America in this de facto state. When we protest, when things are not done by rule of law, we are actually standing for full rule of law, and we are refining the system so the people of authority do live by rule of law. Mm-hmm. That's what you and I are doing as activists, Mr. Carol Cox.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'll listen on.
All righty, thank you. Call back if you like. So, describing this vessel as being getting underway and what have you, not in saying that he took over the helm and fired the engine up and started up to drive it after cutting the anchor. Now, mind you, so once at the Alawai Small Boat Harbor, described the catamaran vessel was in no position at an unmarked slip located near the Ala Moana Boulevard Bridge. It was at the time Oahu Branch Conservation Resource Enforcement John Silverstein asked the supervisor about the location of Ocean, who was identified as the alleged captain. Thus said investigation was assigned to Creo Silverstein, it said. So, folks, then he go on to describe it as vessel bearing identification weather. Throughout the day, July 4th, the weather was sunny and minimal cloud cover and very brisk wind, trade winds. surprised if very brisk trade winds. If you were worried about the welfare of the people with a very brisk wind, trade wind, and people sitting on inner tubes and floating ducks and you name it, or, you know, that kind of, and ice, holding on the ice chest, you would think with brisk winds, and you're the conservation officer and your chief feral is there, and you're worried about the welfare because this is why you moved the boat, you know, because it was, and then you were worried about these little girls or women with bikinis on that was chill, so you were worried about the conditions as it got in the dusk and all. But this was during daylight hours. The July 4th vessel traffic was extremely heavy with high potential of intoxicated vessel operator due to the flotopia. And July 4th, that got nothing to do with it. Independence and July 4th Independence Day firework events located in Magic Island. The above described catamaran vessel was also had an expired vessel registration decal clearly visible. Why did he issue a citation on that? No, nothing was issued. So they say that this report was done 27/24/2017. So, folks, you don't hear anything in that report about a man being contained or restrained or arrested for being belligerent, or a man was placed on a deck. You didn't hear any of that in the report, did you? You know why? Because it wasn't in there. He didn't put anything in there to reflect that he had restrained a Mr. Wyatt Cam and put him on his face flat down to make him urinate on himself because he wouldn't allow him to go to the restroom as he had asked and what have you. Now, I'm not just assuming anything. These are things that through interviews and contacts with others on that raises my suspicion that this report was done after the fact to cover up, and there were some things in there that didn't matter. Who cares about the wind? But you heard that there was a fireworks show at events located at Magic Island. The allegations are that that very fireworks show, extra duty was being awarded, and they had scheduled Mr. Helm. He was going to participate there, and I don't know if Mr. Farrell was paid or collected overtime. I don't want to misspeak, but the records will reflect that if Helm was attending a fireworks show. So why didn't he cancel the fireworks, his role in the fireworks security, and hand it off to a lower-ranking person? Because he initiated the seizure of the vessel. He talked about this supervisor and Farrell. But he and Farrell, as it was described to me, now I wasn't there, so I don't want to say with certainty, but it was described that they left and assigned this to others. Now, what I've learned after all of this, is that there's been a concern to conceal this and an effort, and I draw that conclusion on when one raises an issue about the ethical behavior of an officer, none of this should be taken for granted, especially when your chief, the administrator of that division or department, is on site participating in the instructions, participating in the seizure, participating in all of that and observing right there. He's on another boat, but right there escorting them in. And under his guidance, as Mr. Helm said, that under who he concurred with these things and the cutting of the rope and what have you. So what I've learned is that peripherally, I don't have all the details. And this is, I'm going to go with what is told to me and reportedly. There was phone calls, discussions of this early on after this incident occurred back in 2017 with Farrell and officers. Farrell was discouraging and did discourage any reports or anything. There's an officer named Colt, Christopher Colt, who was aboard the vessel. Nothing in his report even mentioned that there was a officer faced, not an officer, a citizen had been detained and by Carlton Helm and Farrell, because they were there, and put face down and having to urinate on himself and transported face down and required to lay face down for, as Mr. Cam describes it, or alleges, 45 minutes. So there's another gentleman named Covell, an officer named Covell, basically, I don't see any reports. We've asked for all reports. What we got, we didn't get anything. Now, Chris Cole did write a report, but we didn't find anything to say that it was a incident of where transporting someone face down. Didn't mention that. Putting on a boot. Did mention that. Did he see it? Don't know and don't care. The fact is that if you're aboard a vessel and you're an officer, you're not there for a boat ride. You're there to contain the people. You got safety concerns. You've just seized this boat. You got your chief administrator there on site. You got your supervisor there on site. And you were not there just for a joyride. You were there to restrain, contain, and make sure that these people in the boat, even though in my belief that it was illegally seized and you just violated the rights of everybody, including the fish, And then in turn, you tried to articulate with this fancy report that I just hope that Mr. Cam prevails and get a good lawyer. And I think that he probably will own him a nice boat if he desires to do that. But something's wrong here. Something's terribly wrong. So learning that Farrell has already had a go at this, and he should have corrected on his own. He should have initiated and should have written a report and should have been taking actions and apologizing and all of that. But he didn't do it either, you see, because he's the card, you know, the caviar of the enforcement, so to speak. He's the big kahuna. He's from Cal Fish and Game. I'm from Cal Fish and Game, too, but it didn't give you an authority to observe your men to behave in a fashion that nips at the rights of others and the free people and the constitutional rights. And then you come back and articulate and manufacture things. And then when you are told, and officers, this speaks to the honesty of the officers. The bulk of them will ask questions because they know right from wrong. But their efforts were thwarted. Their efforts, I'm told, were ignored, and they were discouraged from doing anything. That was the first time it was raised, right after it happened. Then I'm privy to more information that there is a Mr. David Chiavi, who is a supervisor at DLNR, who is a very good man. You can't beat the kind of the quality of any of that. He, too, became concerned and raise the issue with Mr. Farrell, and Mr. Farrell kibosh, put a stop to it, discouraged it. And what I'm told now, I'm speaking second-handedly, third-handedly, but the fact is that Wide Cam is now filing a complaint. And all of these things, I can't say for sure, but I'm repeating to you what was reported to me by many people that is familiar with that situation, close to it. Many of the, it's just brings in a lot of questions. So that's back in December. There was another attempt by David Chiavi to bring this subject, because it's troublesome to know that one of your fellow officers or is allegedly committing violations of civil rights and what have you, unlawfully seizing and incorporating them into that, and, you know, implicating them, suggesting that they too condoned it and they too participated in it. But keep in mind, these were supervisors. And so that's that incident. And I'm giving you this backdrop so you'll understand. You can do what you want to. I don't expect any of you to go out there and don on a T-shirt and say, let's get rid of them. But I want you to see this is the conservation department. If we accept this, and if it proved out to be true, all of this or any of it, then we have problems. So what then there's a situation where Farrell then goes, I'm told, goes with Carlton Helm to do extra duty for overtime. And I don't know if he got a claim overtime, but it was stated that Carlton Helm was going to go and provide security for the fireworks show, because that is one of the requirements that is of the DLNR. If you are a fireworks displayer or shooting fireworks in the commercial, you need to have security and what have you. And you, in turn, the vendor pays for it, and the officer then submits his bill or his hours to personnel, and personnel then, in turn, compensate him, the officer. So these things are easy to find and prove. But the bigger problem is there was an incident that we've learned that took place at the Cocoa Head Marina, Cocoa Head firing range this year. And this firing range, the incident was that, as it's described, and I don't have all the greater details, but peripherally, and that Mr. Helm was raised his voice or behaved in a manner that, aggressive manner, this is what suggested to me. I don't know if any of this is true, but this is what I can tell you. If you listen to some of the things here, you'll see that if I say he uses his left hand, they may have used his right hand. It'll be that minute. But what happens is that the officers, and I think I'm told that the officers that were concerned in approaching Farrell about the incident and the manner in which it took place on the water with the Wind Warrior, they raised a concern. And it was, and David Keawe had gone to Farrell to ask and beg that something be addressed, because, you know, if the FBI gets involved in civil rights violation, you just as guilty for standing around doing nothing or guilty for not reporting it. Ask the HPD. There's many examples of that. So, you know, and these are good officers. David Keawe has been some 20 years or more volunteering with the HPD. He's not going to go around and beat up on people and subject himself to that and violate the rights of people. You, if you met him, you think he was God's right-hand man. But you can't do anything if you got a boss who's discouraging you. And so at this firing range, some short fuse or something went down, and so as a result of that behavior, that outburst or whatever transpired, Farrell saw fit to call in these people that were complaining, that were there at the firing range, because they filed a workplace violence complaint against Carlton Helm. And that's reported in the KGMB, a Hawaii News Now story. So he filed that complaint, and in turn, instead of just simply hands off, let due process, it's clean that way. That way I was there at the scene, so I'm implicated, or it could be that interpreted that I'm trying to cover up, so I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to be the clean administrator, the clean cop. I'm going to be rational. I'm going to be reasonable. I don't want to cast aspersions on this, so I'm going to stay clear. I'm going to go to the Attorney General's office and ask them. I'm going to ask Suzanne Case, my boss, to refer this matter to an independent outside source to investigate, because I was there on the water at the beginning, and now it would appear that I'm trying to protect my own interests by discouraging these officers from filing a workplace violence. So what then happens? The workplace violence issue, it's reported, was issued against Helm, and his gun and badge was taken. They call it ROPA, relieve of police powers. So, for some reason, Farrell did not like that. He had the meeting, and in that meeting it's described that they were discouraged. He didn't encourage them to do anything, to pursue it. So all of these events now, you know, when we as citizens say cover up, I don't know what a cover-up looks like, but I know the old proverbial, when it quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, and got feathers around its mouth, it's a duck. So then Pharaoh leaves and go on vacation somewhere in between this. And when he leaves and go on vacation, he's contacted, and then he makes a phone call to Jason Radula and tells Radula a phone call or email or text or whatever they do, but maybe smoke signal. They're, the way they operate, it could be smoke signals as far as I know. But the, for some strange reason, the rope was lifted. These officers now have filed a formal complaint, I'm informed. Now, what does that mean? That means that because Suzanne Case, and I will pull it up later on if I get the chance, has written on many occasions, and everything that's brought to her about Robert Pharaoh, she supports him 100%. She began to tell you how great he is. She began to tell you all the things that he's done. But what has he done as it relates to preserving the rights of people, preserving their and protecting and not trampling on their civil rights, or bringing them to an area seizing a boat? And you go, probable cause was there was a fight aboard a boat. You get there, no fight. You don't pursue that. Then all of a sudden, you decide, well, I got to come up with something to justify why I cut the anchor on this boat, took possession of it. No, it got underway on its own, apparently, because he never said, I fired the boat up and I obtained the keys from the captain. You know, he said no captain was aboard. So I, you know, so everything was in place. And someone said, one of the people suggested that he had said that didn't have a light on it, anchor light. Well, it's daytime, folks. And you heard him talk about dusk. So if there was no anchor light, didn't need one. Maybe starboard port and the after part of the boat, the bow of the stern, you know, having a light so that when you're on the way. But it was daylight hours, when so you wouldn't really need. And how would you see an anchor light in the daylight hours in this bright Hawaiian sunshine? And it was not a threat to navigation. So what then happened is that in this report it says that it was something about exigent circumstances. Reclassification of the described investigation, pending the following follow-up report of the investigator and the complainant on behalf of the State of Hawaii Land and Natural Resource Conservation. So, nowhere in here did Mr. Helm, that we could find, and we may have overlooked it, we're not perfect, talk about anything that would have 18-25 hours while the boat was at Alawai. Daylight hours they did this. And again, with no captain vessel commander on board or within the vessel vicinity. Now, he was saying, Wyatt Cam said he was a captain three times or so. Well, if that's the case and he didn't believe Wyatt Cam, why did he arrest Wyatt Cam? See, detain him and face him down on the deck. Because the boat was not underway. Wyatt Cam wasn't driving it, wasn't operating it. It was legally anchored. So what the heck? Give me a couple of margaritas and a couple of tequilas, and if I'm participating in flotilla, you might find me talking to the fish and an octopus or whatever. But I'm not violating the law as long as I'm in the water, not operating the boat. What business is of the government? I'm exercising my rights. But according to Farrell and Helm, you don't have any rights. cut the anchor. We don't know who owned the boat. Cut the anchor. Oh, there's some youngsters on the boat. We smell whiskey on their breaths or liquor on their breaths or whatever you call it. But what I have also in this process of calling and inquiring, and I'm going to pursue it because you may not know that if you have dirty cops, whether they are in a big police agency or a little fishing game agency, it is not good and not consistent with the intent of the Constitution to guide and steer everybody to be fair and legal and respectful of civil rights. That's the fiber of America, folks. So whether it's a little podunk town in Mississippi with three cops on staff or a Department of Land and Natural Resources in Hawaii, leaving people to struggle with being protected. So I just can't, I want to make sure some of you, I've read some of the postings on Facebook, and, you know, there was a Cassie Helm that went to attack the verbally assault Wyatt Cam and threatening that he would be sued for defamation and what have you. Now, I don't know her relationship or if she's related at all to Carlton Helm, but what if she is, wouldn't that be shameful? So, again, with no captain, vessel, commander on board or within the vessel's vicinity, and with none of the passengers certified to command the vessel, it was agreed consensus involving Chief Robert Farrell and his supervisor and this supervisor that this supervisor take the command of the vessel. We've commandeered your vessel, sir. What reason did you take it, sir? I don't need a reason. I'm the DLNR. You know, I am the DLNR. There's an emergency. Just a moment, we'll hold on for a minute.
Provider can see everything you're doing.
Don't know, we had an emergency alarm here, a siren, but anyway. This is what I will say to you. If you read this report, something's terribly wrong. And the thought of man overboard. Now, he didn't put, Mr. Helm didn't put in here that he detained Mr. Cam, and he did not indicate in the report that he had him face down, and he did not say that he secured him, but he was worried about the other people on board, man overboard. But he didn't seem to be care. Well, maybe he addressed that by putting his foot on him. If it's true, maybe that's why some report that he had his foot on him. I don't know. It wasn't there, but just another bit of humor that's not so funny. But a heavily intoxicated, belligerent, and aggressive adult male later identified indicated that he was a captain, but could not. Provide a valid merchant mariner's credential or a state power-driven vessel certification. Now, it's funny, when Shri Shim, I think, out there in Kailua Bay was injured, and we raised the issue about the operator of that boat having no experience and a certification, they concealed it with answers, wouldn't provide a copy. But here, quite naturally, if it's good for them, they will toss it out there, right? So this report, in my opinion, is nothing but a big, big smoke ball to conceal the improper practices, the unethical practices that are related, associated with this. If they felt that there was a danger to the boat, why did the Coast Guard not? They're there watching the same thing. Why did they ignore their phone, their radio calls? Why? Why did they leave and go the other direction? They being the Coast Guard. Because the Coast Guard more than likely felt that there was nothing there. There was no there there. So, but there's a report. Jason Redula sent a report saying that preliminarily, and Redula is the deputy director, under deputy chief under Robert Farrell, saying that there was no validity to Mr. Cam's claims, that they checked at everything and didn't find anything consistent with Mr. Cam's claim. Something to that effect. Well, you see, when you're in the mode of, and I'll call it a cover-up, folks, because, again, the fairness, the integrity of an investigation, if you are participating in the incident that, and you're the chief of the agency, and you were there participating in the actual incident as it unfolded, you then should declare yourself as, recuse yourself and make sure that Mr. Helm is recused. And how is it that Mr. Jason Redula, the deputy of Robert Farrell, can, in fact, conduct an investigation of Robert Farrell? Why did we not see Suzanne Case refer this matter, and Masudo, I think, is the deputy, why didn't they refer this matter to the Department of Attorney General's office? Or refer to the FBI? They can do that. But no, they decide, they have an audience. Remember, they had just received a letter from the union telling them to cease and desist, and the concerns is that Robert Farrell could unilaterally fire anybody that he chose to, because if they didn't need a progressive punishment system, he didn't like you or you did something and committed some act, he could fire you with no second chance, just period. And that is what I open up with, sharing with you about that letter that was written by the union. Now, this is what Mr. John Silverstein wrote, conservation officer. And just like Mr. David Kiave, you can't find better people. You can't. They care about the job. They know the resources. They know the concerns. But they can't shake people that come in with revolving chairs and put the screw to them and threaten them and then openly go against the union wishes and don't negotiate. Even though the governor is signing a bill, Robert Farrell is writing and Jason Redula is writing saying, screw your, so to speak, screw your rules. We're going to implement this now. So imagine the audience of the officers that work for Robert Farrell. Pins and needles, folks. Eggshells. They're walking around on eggshells. So, but in these documents that they did release, even though Jason Redula said there was nothing that would confirm that Mr. Cam has any facts to his statements, John Silverstein wrote, I assisted passengers from the vessel and checked the level of consciousness of one adult passenger who was laying face down on the deck. The adult male appeared to be intoxicated but oriented three times and stated he was told to remain on deck face down and not to move. That three times is that, hi, what's your name? Do you know where you are? Are you okay? That's what that means, basically. And he passed the test. So, what do you do with this? When you're at the scene and you just are able to, with the chief, Robert Farrell is there with you. And I hope he write me another letter telling me how I was fired and that I was no good. And that I'm hoping for more of that, because then, and then he toss in a little bit of, well, yeah, kind of like you black guys complain. Yeah, I know the man did this to you. You see, do we have a room for that kind of guy? Do we have a room for a guy who goes in and attacks or threatens people that have a radio show and raise issues with and bring to light transparency, bad behavior on his part or his deputies? So what you do is you go out there and you attack them. Well, I'm telling you, I'm all teeth, buddy. I bite back. And so especially when you're in law enforcement and you think that you can take that badge and use it as a shield to protect you, but you can inflict injury on the rights of others. Not on my watch. And I'm just a little guy, but just know that if you violate the rights of others or even come near the appearance of it, I'm going to ask questions. And you can get busy, put some more ink in your pens and write more letters if you'd like to. So that's what we have, folks. And I'm not stopping here. I'm hoping that the officers out there in DLNR, if you hear this, I suggest that you tell the truth, write your reports. It's never too late, because if it's successfully submitted to other agencies or higher authorities, you're going to be just as guilty as there. And you might think you're getting along to please Farrell and you're preserving your job, but you might lose your job and go to jail. I'm just telling you. That's not, I don't know what will happen, but, you know, if you think it's more important that you be quiet now, because Farrell will fire you or harass you or harangue you and ride your neck for the next 20 years, just know that there's a bigger rule in this town that will hold you accountable and say to you, it's inexcusable. If you witness something, you speak up. That's why you have a gun and a badge. You have our trust. And if you are one of those entities of individuals that your trust, our trust is of no value to you, then you need to find another job busing dishes or something, because we're not going to stand for it. I like all of you, but it's disheartening when people's rights are trampled on and you witness it and you do nothing. And I understand we don't expect you to throw yourself on a sword and get speared by Farrell and lose your job. But on the other hand, ask yourself, where does your responsibility start and your obligations to the people in preserving their rights, and where does it stop? Does it stop when you think you're going to lose your job if you spoke up and told the truth? As an officer, you observe this in your capacity as an officer? A place that you're legally allowed to be. That's what we expect of you. We go to bed at nighttime knowing that you're out there protecting us. We've entrusted in you the authority. So if you saw someone raping or robbing someone and you don't want to get involved because you might lose your job or he might know you, would you do that? Or would you say, well, if I speak up, Robert Farrell may fire me? Let us know so that we can give him the door and you the boot along with him. I'm not whistling Dixie. I just say that when one officer writes down and he didn't hold back and wrote the truth down, and then I understand that Farrell is going to target him and anyone else that speaks up. And, oh, by the way, it's reported to me that when Farrell... And we have pretty good information to believe what this is saying, is that you go to him and you try to file a complaint. He doesn't make it easy for you or show you the way so that he can be neutral. He sits and discourages you and engages in name-calling and pinning and blame you for the actual behavior of the person you're filing a complaint against. So maybe in this process of getting a new academy to train these guys, maybe Mr. Farrell can go back to it himself. He could be the first student, the first candidate, a cadet. But no, he was Cal Fishing Game, and you know, Cal Fishing Game is really the ace cream of the crop, you know. Let me tell you something. Everybody is deserving a watchful eye. And how you came here is very suspect. Taking money from private entities and incorporating it in your daily functions raises questions. When it comes to the actual enforcement, Mr. Farrell, of matters that may be found to be in violation, Castle Foundation International or others, what would you do? You frightened the hell out of all your officers with the threat of firing them, and you wanted that bill to pass, but it passed, and you were going to fire them at your will. You wrote them a letter to tell them they're the worst of the worst of the worst, and you would have gotten rid of 50% of them. You wouldn't have even hired 50% of them. So with that kind of climate, sounds like Mr. Farrell and Mrs. Suzanne Case see the government as a way of a big bat, a big stick. They're going to conquer and tame this wild, wild west called the DLNR. For what reason? We got 3 monk seals that are dead. Nobody knows what happened to them. But no, your men can't work because they're scared as hell. They don't want to go out working anymore. Because whatever they do, you're laying there waiting to stick them. But you go out on the boat and flotilla and you watch and you cut the anchor, have the anchor or acknowledge it or authorize it, a legally moored boat. And then you come up with exigent circumstances. Exigent circumstances. What was the exigent circumstance? The boat was anchored. You didn't say that it had a flimsy anchor. He said it was even, he just went on to describe how perfectly set the anchor was. He said the hold on. So, you know, I read that and I thought, if I was your supervisor, I'd sit you in the corner and tell you, you better learn the difference between the constitutional rights. You better go back and learn the laws of search and seizure and evidence and all of that. And seizing a boat, and then you take it in and tie it up on the dock. Well, what happens? All of the runaround, the boat was eventually given back to its rightful owner. No charges filed. Mr. Cam didn't get an apology. All that he's getting is the runaround now to be told that we didn't find anything consistent with what he claimed. They called him up, he reports to me, that he told them I would rather have my attorney with me before, and this was Jason Redullo. Just shortly thereafter, Jason Redullo then writes a report saying it's done, no findings. No truth to it, basically. Then there's a second letter where they're now saying they're backtrailing, backpedaling. Oh, there is an investigation still ongoing. So the good news is, it's a pleasure talking to all of you again today, and I'll be back next week. This is the Carol Cox Show, KWAI, 1080AM.com is the website you can go to, or 1080 AM on the radio. So we'll see you next week. And hopefully I'll have some more information. My Elementary School has a shed there owned by the fire department. 53,000 parts per million of lead in the paint and on the ground there in the playground, leaching off in the playgrounds. We're trying to get the city and county of Honolulu to clean it up. And it's shameful. What an insult on Mayor Harris's, Caldwell's part. We see a commercial on TV telling us how great Environmental Service Division is when we got instances like this. And on the Lime Bike matter, how disingenuous. The mayor stood by and did everything to bring in Bicky bikes and gave them parking and didn't even have many of the things in place. But the people with Lyme are criminals, as he describes them. So there's an imbalance here in fairness. So we'll see you next week. Aloha and thank you.
Are my babies coming home tomorrow? Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I got a letter just the other day telling me that she was on her way and she wanted me to meet her at the station. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? In the letter, she told me she still loved me. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? In the letter, she told me she loved me. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? She said she's sorry that she left. Found out she don't want nobody else. Said she wants me all to herself. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Ain't that news? Ain't that good news? Man, I know that's good news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? I'm gonna have her a party at the station. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Have a party at the station. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Ain't that news? Ain't that good news? Man, 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 ain't that news? My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Good news.